Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, you can. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Busy, busy on this Thursday. NFL weekend kicks off tonight. Good game. Finally, we get what at least shapes up to be a good game on Thursday Night Football with the Ravens at the Bucs. Big game between two quarterbacks who desperately need it and our big stars in Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady. We'll get to all of that. We got a bunch of basketball working today. My main man, Dan Graziano, is here. But, Dan, I'm going to start it with something you're not expecting. So you have this competition with our friend Hembo, who most days on this program sits right where you're sitting right now. Are you aware of why he's not here?
I heard it. Something mentioned about a wedding, but I don't know any details.
So I brought this up yesterday, and I'm dealing with Hembo, who is young and still basically newly married. He's been married 3 years. He has brand new twins.
Brand new kids,
And then I've got Nuno and Bubba, who are lifelong bachelors.
Okay.
So I needed the thoughts of someone who has been married a long time like myself, and you fall in that category. So Hembo has been invited. His wife and he have been invited to a wedding tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Do you know what else is tomorrow night?
I believe the Philadelphia Phillies are playing in game one of the World Series.
That's correct.
Night.
Do you know how important that is to Hembo?
Pretty important.
I mean, what's the most important thing in your life? If I asked you right now, what is the most important? I mean, literally include everything. The health and safety of your children?
Yeah, wife and kids.
That's how much Hembo cares about the Phillies. It's literally on that level. And it is my belief that he should not be made to go to this wedding for game one of the World Series. I wrote in a book 15 years ago that football tickets are an acceptable reason for missing a wedding up to and including first cousins. These are merely friends. I think Hembo should be told, and I think everyone involved should understand,
I mean,
I'm not coming to this wedding. I'm very happy for you, but the Phillies are playing in the World Series. That's much more important to me. I think everyone should understand that. I really do.
I mean, you can watch it on your phone.
No, you can't watch it on your phone.
You can watch it on your phone.
You are not watching game. No, when your team is in the World Series, I tried to make this analogy. There were very few weddings on Sundays, I think. But I don't mean on Sundays. But there are very few weddings on Super Bowl Sunday, I think.
Because
most people don't want to get married during the Super Bowl. Let me take it out of a Sunday. NFL playoff games get played on Saturdays.
Sure.
If the New York Jets are in a playoff game in that Saturday night primetime slot, and I'm invited to a wedding that is not my own daughter's, I'm not going.
Wow.
I'm not going. And I don't think anyone should expect me to.
Well, the World Series is going to be at least four games.
Right.
Right? So you could make the case that the singular, you know, the singular playoff game, the guarantee, there's no more guarantee. You don't know if the Jets are going to be in a playoff game again for years after that one day. He knows that he can watch game two on Saturday, right?
Which side of this are you on is what I'm asking. Like, you are now an esteemed sports writer.
So they're friends of his? They're not friends of Liz's?
I think they're friends of hers.
Okay. Well, then that changes it.
Yeah.
I mean, that changes it to make it more of a requirement for him.
Oh, it does.
Oh, I think so. Because now you're talking about, you know, the marriage, right? Like, you're talking about, like, you know, it's a happy wife, happy life situation here.
Yeah.
So if it was his friends, then I think he'd have more power over the decision.
I don't know, because it seems to me that... Okay,
this is good stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why you would talk about sports the rest of the day.
This is what I find myself thinking about.
Of meat on this bone,
and it is sports adjacent. I mean, it does speak to the importance of sports
and the Phillies.
Let's look at it this way: if you're listening to this show, if your life is in a place where right at this minute you have put on ESPN Radio, wherever you are in America and are listening, then you are passionate about sports.
Yeah,
you feel exactly as I do in this scenario, and if you happen to be married or in a committed relationship with someone where sacrifice becomes a factor, then you understand the conundrum. But I told Hembo, I think you 100% can get away with it. And here's why. Here's the point that they're her friends. They don't give a damn if he's there or not.
Well, that's the thing, right?
They don't care.
So, like, years from now, when they remember their wedding, is it going to matter to them that he was there? Mm-mm. That's the thing. If the answer to that is no, then yeah. But the other thing is, like, what's the cost? Like, how angry is your wife going to be at you for skipping? And what's the benefit? Like, how much of the game are you going to miss? The game starts at 8 o'clock. Like, what time is the wedding? What time does the reception end? Like, you might be able to see. You might be able to pick the game up in a fourth inning.
Nah, these games are starting at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So, yes. Like, you're not getting out of a weekend night wedding.
Yeah, you're right.
If in time get, to see, you're gonna miss it.
You gotta watch it on your phone.
You can't watch it.
You
on
can watch it on
phone.
Your phone.
That's just no.
Hembo's
you need
like 24 years old. That's all they do is watch on her phone.
No, but you need to have. You want to watch it with other people who care about it. You know, he's very close with Keith Costas, who is Bob's son. He needs Keith to come over. They watch the game together. They put something on the grill. They drink beer and they watch the game. That's how you. Your team is in the World Series. This takes priority over everything.
Where's the wedding?
In Long Island someplace.
Oh, okay. So it's not in, like, suburban Philadelphia where the entire place would be locked in on this game. Right. If it's Hembo's friends or Hembo's family, then you could have, like, a separate room.
The Yankees they weren't that close. They were four wins away.
They were not that close.
From tomorrow night being game one of the World Series and them playing it. If that was the case, half the wedding would not have shown up.
Right.
Or half the wedding would not have shown up.
Or there would have been, like, a whole separate spot where nobody was paying attention to what was going on in the wedding and everybody's watching the game.
And how much does that wedding stink? Do you want that to be your wedding?
No, you don't.
No, you don't want that to be your wedding.
So you're saying he shouldn't go,
right?
Because he'll be distracted,
right?
Right, and it won't. He'll have a bad time.
He'll resent it. She won't have
She'll
a good
have
time
because
he's not having a good time.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think I'm onto something.
You
here
might
with
be
this.
Right.
If this scenario were to arise in your life, how would that conversation? How long are you married?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20.
A couple
years.
Of
so
weeks.
You're approaching. So I've been married 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So how would that conversation go in your marriage?
So it's her friend getting married.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now, you're a lot old. Again, Hembo was in that stage of life, by the way. They've got a wedding like every other week.
Right. That's the thing.
Everyone is getting married.
Like the next
in his
weddings
friend group.
We go to will be like our kids and our friends' kids.
Yeah. I'm now going to people's kids' weddings, which parenthetically is a stage of life that sucks.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than being the old people at the wedding that everyone is hoping won't dance. Like, you know, like everyone's looking over at your table when the song, you know, they're playing all the current music, and then the band goes into like Kool and the Gang Celebration, and everyone at your table is like, ooh, I know this one. Let's get up there. And all the young people are like, oh no, here they come. Here comes the stampede of the geezers, and you're out there like you're with your dance moves, and the whole thing is just humiliating. And then, like, some people's friends, like, you know, their kids all, you know, grew up with Mike and Mike, and they're like, oh yeah, he really can't dance. Everyone always made fun of him, but he can't. So, like, that, all of that is awful. But anyway, I digress.
Definitely.
So, if Hembo is listening right now, and he probably is, they're probably in the car driving right now, parenthetically.
So she's watching his facial expressions.
In what can only be described as a startling sidebar, they're bringing their two-month-old twins to this wedding.
Well, that's patently insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
I don't know. And he thinks that it's going to be his responsibility to look after these children.
Babies are going to the wedding
Correct.
And the reception? Like, they don't have a babysitter?
I don't
at the
have
hotel
an explanation for you. I tried to talk to him about this yesterday. Mm. Yes, that seems to be the case.
Hmm.
That doesn't make any sense at all to anyone, but it seems to be happening. You know that he named one of them after me.
I do. I've heard.
Michelle,
yes,
which is delightful.
We've had this conversation.
So he has Michelle and, you know, the other one. And that's, so there, he's bringing Michelle and the other one to the wedding.
Charlotte, I believe. You don't care.
Obviously the lesser one. And so anyway, the point
she's
of it all.
She's listening, by the way, if they're in the car.
Yes, but she's 2 months old. Oh. She's not going to understand it. Just like she's not going to understand anything that happens at this wedding. So I am at a loss to understand any of the things that Hembo is doing.
Yeah, I think you're right. Look, I got to cut him a break. I mean, like, it is...
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't have to cut him a break.
If she's expecting him to go, then that pressure cannot be ignored, right? That's a real thing. So it's game one. There's at least three more games. I don't know. I think it's different from your Jets playoff scenario because it's a series, not a single game.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll buy that.
I think he'll be able to pay enough
attention.
If
it was game seven.
Oh, that's different.
If it was game seven of the World Series.
I think he'd have to miss the wedding.
Then you miss the wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even consider going to the wedding.
No, I don't even think it's an issue.
I don't even know how she,
I don't even know how she could ask him to go if
it's
game seven.
At that point, everyone
like in
involved
good conscience.
Just assumes you're not coming to the wedding.
Yeah,
at that point, you should only RSVP in the affirmative.
Right.
Like, the assumption is you're not coming. Let us know if by some
game
miracle
seven.
You are.
Right.
Greeny brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. You're here all day to do this just in and everything, right?
Whatever. Talk about weddings and whatever you want.
All right, then stay there a minute. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. I did not get into any of my football with Graziano, but I got a million things, including next Tuesday being the trade deadline. And that feels to me of enormous consequence in a few different places. We will get into that and more as we continue with Graziano next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We got a good feeling working on this Thursday. Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Come to you live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I got the great Dan Graziano, my NFL insider extraordinaire, sitting alongside today. We just spent a lot of time trying to figure out Hembo's life. That's a lost cause.
Yeah, I don't think we got there.
So let's dive into something else that's starting to feel like a lost cause, and that's the Green Bay Packers. So that's your game this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Sunday night game, which is a really good game. Or it's a really interesting game. It may be a very one-sided game.
Could be.
Green Bay at Buffalo. I guess you never know. But you're pretty tight. Pretty tied in, I feel like, with the Packers. Anytime I talk to you
spend
about
some
them,
time around them,
yeah,
sure.
you seem to know the situation. So sometimes, from the outside, we look at it, and I feel like behind closed doors, oh, there must be chaos, and there's alarms going off, and people are running around, and it's just insanity. What is your sense of just how bad things are right now behind closed doors in Green Bay?
I think, you know, and they're on a losing streak, which in the NFL is awful because, you know, it's a week between games. So if
right.
you're on a three-game losing streak, you haven't won in a month. And the attitude and atmosphere that sets in any NFL locker room in that case is a tough one. Like I used to say, like, we go in as reporters and, like, they take all their frustration out on us, like, because they're sick of seeing us every day. But, you know, I think it's when you have Aaron Rodgers, and whatever he's doing this week in terms of what he's saying about guys who are making mistakes, shouldn't play, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever he's doing is, you can argue with the technique, but what he's trying to do is lead in some way, right? Like, to be the veteran guy that sets the tone of that team. So when you have guys like that and you know who they are, there's at least a center, right? And so the LaFleur and Rodgers relationship is a good one. They're open and honest with each other about what's going on. And I think they feel like, you know, we can turn this thing around. But they also, I think there's also a feeling like, and we heard Domofsky say it on Get Up, like there's not somebody coming back from injury. You know what I mean? Like the group that they have is the group that they have.
Cavalry is not coming.
So if the answers aren't in that room, then there's going to be a problem. So they have to turn some guys who have so far have not been answers into answers. And it's a challenge. I think they're used to not coasting, but they're used to winning a lot and the feeling that goes with that. And when you're trying to solve your problems, but you're also winning, that's a very, very different vibe in terms of the effort you feel like you're making every day. So I feel like it was one of those situations where right now, if you're the Green Bay Packers, everything feels difficult.
Yeah. You are accustomed to being in a position of strength when you're dealing with things, and right now it feels like you're in a position of weakness. The Green Bay Packers are a team that almost never make any kind of trades, even though people might clamor for them, if nothing else, because it feels like you're doing something about a problem. But
right.
It may not be the right thing for them to do. Either way, the trade deadline is Tuesday. We've seen some deals already. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Eagles getting Robert Quinn yesterday feels like a pretty big deal. The Cowboys made the move for the defensive tackle that Bart called the big fatty early this
week. Yeah, he's a big fella.
The Jets made the trade for James Robinson, which I really like.
Yes, I did too.
Because the running back got hurt in Breece Hall. What other names are being actively kicked around right now as possibly being traded by the middle of next week?
So people are watching the Denver Broncos because they have some. They're obviously not having a very good season, and they have some players that people are interested in. Recent high picks like Jerry Jeudy and Bradley Chubb. As I understand it, they're asking a lot for those players, as you would expect. Does the price go down, or do the offers come up as Tuesday approaches? It's possible, but as of now, they're not. It doesn't sound like close to anything. People are watching the Panthers because they traded Robbie Anderson and Christian McCaffrey last week. They have some desirable players like Brian Burns, the edge rusher, DJ Moore, the wide receivers. They seem to want to keep those guys. I guess it's always possible you could blow them away. See, if I'm the Packers, like, I'm not just looking to add a receiver, right? Like, I want to do sort of what the Cowboys did a couple years ago with Amari Cooper, right? They traded a first-round pick for Amari Cooper because they needed a guy. Dak had no one to throw to, and this was an alpha, and he's still young, and you know, all that. So if you're the Packers, I think you should be looking into the DJ Moore, Jerry Jeudy types, right? The potential difference makers, the guys that profile as maybe number one receivers, because that's what you don't have. I think you can mix and match with what you have on your roster, maybe get the rookie Christian Watson healthy, maybe get something out of that. But if you want to make a difference-making player that's going to turn things around for you, I think you have to swing big. And that's where they would really have to get out of their comfort zone in terms of what they would pay in terms of draft picks.
Yeah, so it may not be Green Bay. We'll see which teams. Look, the NFC is so wide open. It's mm-hmm. kind of hard to figure out who is and isn't in it. You know what's a fascinating storyline to me? When did you cover the Giants? What years were you with the Giants?
The last three Coughlin years, so 13, 14, and 15.
So it's,
and then prior to that, I was NFC East, you know, when we had the division blogs.
So before the Geno Smith thing. Like,
yes.
The Geno Smith story is fascinating
to me. That was
17,
right?
Yeah. It was whatever year Eli's streak came to an end.
That was it.
And it was the year they fired Ben McAdoo. So, yeah. I mean, wasn't it the week? Didn't they fire him like that week? They fired him.
Oh, it was the very next day.
Immediately.
It was. I landed, whatever game I was covering, I landed at LaGuardia to the news that he had been fired. Yeah.
I find this fascinating. Like, Geno Smith is a player who his two most famous moments, he was a really good college player.
I mean,
he was
a
high draft pick. The Jets took him in the second round. He was a player that a lot of people thought had a lot of potential. And it went so badly for him in so many ways that the only two really memorable things about his NFL career were, A, getting his jaw broken by being punched by a teammate in the locker room as a Jet, and then the coach getting fired for deigning to play him in a game because it meant benching Eli Manning. And the fact that he is rebounding and having a comeback player of the year season in Seattle, the fact that Seattle against the Giants is the only matchup of two winning teams this entire weekend, like, that is a stunning story to me.
It is. And I was on the phone with somebody with the Seahawks earlier this week. And I flat out asked the question, like, with Geno, like, did you see this coming? It's like, no. Like, at the beginning of the season, they felt like Geno was the right choice for quarterback because he was going to be steady. Like, he was going to put them in good positions, and they could run the ball, and they could play defense, and they could win games. They did not necessarily. Maybe Pete Carroll did. Right? I mean, maybe maybe he was the one that saw it. But the feeling in the organization was that he'll keep us in the game and we'll find a way to win it. But he is operating a pretty explosive offense so far for Seattle. And I don't think anyone saw that coming, including a lot of people in that building. So, but look, the reason he got the start for the Giants that day in 2017 is because he had been a really good backup. He had been, you know, a good scout team guy. He had been a good practice guy. He had been good in the meetings. So in Seattle, same reputation, right? Good guy to have around the team, whatever you need. And I think he is an example of someone who spent his time as a backup very, very well and probably improved a lot more than anyone would have thought. Right, the coaches are seeing him every day on the practice field, so maybe they know, but we don't get to see the backups. And he played three games last year, and whatever, a couple of them were good. But like he has decided during my time as a backup, I'm going to try and turn myself into a much better player. And so, if and when my chance ever comes again, it'll be different. And this is a great example of what to do when it's not going well. Right, as an NFL player.
Whoever would have dreamt that his season would be where it is and that Russell Wilson's season would be where it is. That look, I don't get, I've been around so long and so have you. I don't get shocked by too many things anymore. I'm shocked by both of those, how well it's going in Seattle and how badly it's going in Denver. Your chance to be part of Greeny Nation comes on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. I have like two more things I would bounce off you. Do you have to go anywhere? You feel like sitting?
I got.
You tell me.
What do I have?
Well, let's do it this way. You can either. We'll take 12, a short break.
I got a 12:10. 12:10. So what's it? 11:30? I'm
yes.
good.
We're off the air long
Whatever
before
you need.
That. I want to get into the Daniel Jones stuff.
Okay.
I want to get into. And I've got some Aaron Judge stuff.
Greeny, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio as we roll along. So before we get to anything else, this Halloween business. So Halloween is this coming Monday. You know, when my kids were little, I enjoyed Halloween. When I was little, I suppose I enjoyed Halloween. Generally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of Halloween, nor of how incredibly into it a lot of adults get. It confuses me. I don't really get it. And Nuno called my attention to an exchange between Zach Lowe and Jeff Van Gundy. Was this on Zach's podcast, I assume?
Yes, it was.
The Lowe Post? So there, he's got Van Gundy on the podcast, and they start talking about Halloween, and this is what ensued.
I don't know about you. Never a big Halloween guy.
We've talked about this. You've said you're never a big Halloween guy, but
you were shocked and appalled by Brian Windhorst's stance on turning down the blinds and the lights and being anti-trick-or-treater.
Come on. That's un-American. Your house deserves to get egged if you refuse when home to give out treats.
I had a conversation about egging recently, and my stance as a homeowner, a relatively new homeowner, is if you as children can outwit me, as long as it doesn't do any damage to my home, I applaud. If you can ding-dong ditch me, toilet paper my trees, do something without me catching you, but I will try to catch you. Not to yell or ream you out or get you in trouble, but just to let you know that I was quicker than you, that I was smarter than you. I will try to play the cat and mouse game.
See, Texas is a big toilet paper thing, and I tell you, there is nothing. I think you should be able to catch and just obliterate a child if he throws toilet paper up in trees that you can't reach.
So, look, first and foremost, no one but Jeff could get away with saying that. I actually do have a variety of thoughts on this. Nuno, are you a Halloween guy?
I am not. No interest. Obviously, part of it is probably because I don't have any kids, but nothing. Don't want to do anything to do with it.
If there are trick-or-treaters in your neighborhood, do you hand out candy?
Lights are off. No one's around.
You're that guy. Bubba, how about you?
I enjoy it. I live in an apartment, so I just turn it off too. But if I had a house, I would keep the lights on.
But children who live in an apartment should not be able to get candy on Thanksgiving?
No one comes in my area. It's just, no. They can, but I just feel like no one really comes over.
I grew up in an apartment. Let me tell you.
I mean, it's not really an apartment. It's like a townhouse. No one's going to come on to where I live anyway, so.
Well, so now you seem confused about where you live. Like, that's the part of this I'm not understanding. Hold on. We need to get to the bottom of this in 15 seconds. I got to get to the Belichick stuff here. I got a few things I want to get to, but I have to address this Halloween thing. So as the rest of the country joins us here, we just played a little bit of an exchange between Jeff Van Gundy and Zach Lowe on Zach's podcast about Halloween. And there are two kinds of people when it comes to Halloween. And as is the case with most things, almost everyone overdoes it. The right solution is right in the middle. So should you be a person, if you are an adult, like I enjoyed Halloween as a child. Let me tell you how great. Bubba just suggested that no one ever comes to trick-or-treat at his door because he lives in an apartment. Is that right, Bubba, you said?
Well, it's not an apartment. It's like a...
Well, you said you live in an apartment, and then I said...
Well, I basically said that at first, meaning I don't live in a house, but I never know the correct... I don't live in an apartment building. I guess technically I live in a townhouse. So.
Okay, so those are very different things.
I would agree.
So now, one of the things we have to understand is why you seem confused about where it is you live. But that said, I grew up in an apartment building. No one has it better than the kids who grow up in an apartment building. Okay, I grew up in a building that had 30 stories. There were 6 apartments on each floor. I had 180 doorbells. It was remarkable, and I could knock them all off without having to put on a winter coat because I'm just walking down a flight of stairs to get to each one. Start up on 30. I lived on 25, work my way all the way down to 2, get in the elevator, go back home. Bingo, bango, bongo in Irving. 2 hours later, I'm overrun with candy. So believe me, the kids who grow up in apartment buildings have it made on Halloween. That said, if you are an adult who does not have children. Like when my kids were little, yes, I loved it. Get them dressed up. We go to the trick-or-treating. That's great fun. I was generally that dad walking behind the group of kids with the red solo cup, which is the universal sign for I'm drinking. Like I'm walking the kids around the neighborhood, but they're old enough that they do not require really careful supervision. So I am drinking something in this red solo cup. And I don't want everyone to know it, which obviously anyone who knows anything knows what it is. But if you are not at that, like in my stage of life now, there are two adults you don't want to be on Halloween. One of them is the one who shuts off your lights and doesn't want anything to do with the kids. Give the freaking candy. You don't want to be that person. You don't want to be one who feigns not being home. Get the candy, go to the store, buy the candy, hand it out. The kids enjoy it. It is a minimal commitment on your part. But You also do not want to be the adults who dress up on Halloween. You don't want to be. I'm telling you right now. If you think people aren't making fun of you, you're wrong. They are. Behind your back, they're thinking, that's not a person I take seriously. If you show up at a place of business, like in an office building, dressed as Iron Man, something is wrong. Really wrong. Now, if you're having a party on a Saturday night, a Halloween party, and the theme is costumes, I'm not coming. But I understand if you want to go to that party that you would dress up for that. But if Halloween this year is Monday, right? It's this coming Monday. If you to work on Monday, like dressed up as, I don't know, a friendly ghost or a Marvel character, or and you're an adult in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or whatever it is. Anyone else find that questionable? Like, am I the only one who's thinking, why are you doing that? What are you trying to accomplish with this? I get that maybe it's fun, but what's fun about it exactly? Like, I'm wearing a Superman costume? What are we doing here? Nuno, do you agree with me or not?
Well, let me just first say, and if you want to dress up as any Marvel character, go ahead. That's first and foremost.
Yes.
But yes.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. No, yeah, none of that stuff. Don't decorate your cube. Like, you want to, you know, when some guys do this, like Liam, or like he does this, he brings the excess like candy to work.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
Bring
do
the
that.
Candy.
Be that guy.
Yeah.
Be that guy. But don't be the guy that shows up to work dressed in your outfit and or tell everyone what you're doing. Here's a tip, and I'm going to sound like a bad guy. I don't want to see your kids' costumes. Don't show me any of those pictures. I don't care.
You don't want to see little Michelle and the other one and how they were dressed up as like an eggplant and a tomato or whatever it is that you dress 2 months old as. I'm totally with you. And here's the, before everyone starts tweeting me pictures of me and Mike dressed up all those years on Halloween, that's obviously different. That was a show. We were doing a show. It was fun and funny because we were on TV. I assure you, I did not go home dressed as Psy from Whoopa Gangnam Style. Okay? I definitely did not wear that costume the rest of the day. Anyway, so that has been my little Halloween moment. Enjoy Halloween, but only a little. So there's that. Now we get to Bill Belichick, a man who was unquestionably never enjoyed any holiday in his entire life. And far be it from me to suggest that Bill Belichick is getting anything wrong when it comes to coaching football. I am not one of these Belichick detractors. Yes, I root against him every single week, but I also continue to believe he is the greatest coach of all time. However, while he does not need unsolicited advice from me, I'm going to give him some.
This is a perfect opportunity for you to try some active listening.
Unsolicited advice.
I think Bill has to change his usual way of doing things when it comes to Mac Jones right now. I think he is running the risk of Mac Jones being adversely affected by the stuff that's going on around him. Bill is a person who is extremely good at blocking out all of the noise. Right, he makes the jokes about not being on InstaFace and all that kind of stuff, but there is a level of truth to that. He is very good at blocking out the noise. And he had a quarterback for all those years in Tom Brady who was thrived on the adversity, thrived on being criticized. And in fact, Belichick himself criticized him. Oh, my so-called great quarterback. You hear these stories about the things he would say in meetings, and Brady would burn. And he'd go out and he'd play great. He'd throw 4 touchdowns on Sunday. But not everyone is like that. Did you see Mac Jones's face on Monday night? Mac Jones looked like he had just lost his best friend when the crowd is chanting Bailey Zappi's name. Mac Jones was a first-round pick. He played really well last year. Mac Jones is your future. He's the quarterback of the New England Patriots. And in my opinion, by Bill being Bill, and refusing to just say, yeah, this guy's my quarterback, I think he's actually stoking the fires of the situation. One of the reasons I think the fans are chanting Bailey Zappi's name is that they have not closed the door on Bailey Zappi getting the job. I think Bill needs to say, what are you kidding? What are we doing here? Mac is my quarterback. When he's healthy, of course he's going to play. Why are you even asking me that? Like, that's what he should say, rather than...
Bill, have you named the starting quarterback for this Sunday yet?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes here today.
Do you plan on having a quarterback rotation again?
We'll see how it goes today.
Is that something that would be...
Look, we're not doing anything here. We haven't practiced. We're going to go out, and we're going to see how it goes today. All right?
I get it. And that's Bill. That's Bill being Bill, and it obviously has worked. So, again, far be it from me to be telling Bill how he should coach his team, but I am just an observer of the passing scene, and I think his quarterback is in a mental state that is not advantageous. He does not look like this is coming off well with him, and it just cannot be easy to be that kid and have every 70,000 or whatever it is people at Gillette Stadium on Monday night chanting Bailey Zappi's name and then cheering like they just won the Super Bowl when you get yanked after throwing a pick in the first quarter. And I do not think this is going right. And I think Bill actually has the power to stop a lot of it. Now, the best way, the easiest way for this to cease being a problem is for Mac Jones to play great. And there will come a time when he does again, because Mac Jones is a good player. I don't know if he will ever be a great player, but his floor is much higher than what we've seen from him so far this year. The knock on him is his ceiling may not be that high, but the floor is high. Mac Jones is not a bad player. He is not going to continue to make really bad mental mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes, and bad decisions. That's not what's going to happen here. He needs to be built up. He needs his confidence to be restored. And I believe Belichick has the authority to silence 99% of this. Will there still be some fans chanting the backup's name? Sure. The backup is always popular, especially if the main guy isn't playing particularly well. But everyone associated with that team knows and says, behind closed doors, Mac Jones, there is no quarterback controversy here. Bill could end this. And he's choosing not to because he's playing his Belichick games. He doesn't want to give anything away. Maybe he wants the Jets and Robert Saleh to be guessing which quarterback they have to prepare for this week, to be wondering. And they do play slightly different styles. And they seem to coach them very differently. Watching them as I do, Bailey Zappi seems to be under center, and Mac Jones seems to be in the gun most of the time. And I'm not going to pretend I fully understand why it is they're doing those differently for those two players. But for whatever reason, if his strategy is I want the game's not home this week anyway, so the fans aren't going to be chanting one way or the other, and I want the Jets, who are a defense focused team, to have to prepare for both of them. I understand that it is reasonable strategy. But there may be a circumstance in which something more important than that is at play. And just reading the body language, and look, I'm not going to pretend I know Mac Jones well, but anytime you've ever watched him, he just seems to be that kind of guy, right? He seems to be very type A. He seems to be wired. He seems to be wound kind of tight. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of laid back in him. So I could see this stuff bothering him. And again, when it bothered Brady, better things happened, not worse. Terrific. That's how he operated. That's how he functioned. That's how Bill functions. I think Bill likes it. I think Bill likes adversity. Or at minimum, he does a better job of compartmentalizing it than just about anyone I can think of. But I'm not sure Mac Jones is that guy. And I think I'd be a little worried about it. Now, many of you may not know this, but before his long, very successful tenure in radio production, Bubba was actually a best-selling author of self-help books and has an understanding of the psychology of positive thinking and all the rest of that. That is, I mean, it's world-renowned is probably the only way I could think of to describe it. So, Bubba, as you watch this situation, you hear my unsolicited advice to Bill Belichick, what are your thoughts on the way they are handling Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think I probably would agree with you. I think in the grand scheme of things, it probably just makes sense to just come right out and just say Mac is the guy. I think especially given what he did last year, I think why are they having it on? Just say he's the guy and give him the confidence boost and let's go.
I think it would shut down a lot of the stuff. Again,
a lot of unnecessary questions for no reason.
The questions.
Let's just do it.
And the questions everyone is getting, including Jones himself and the fans. Like to me, the hardest part of it all, if I'm Mac Jones, is the fans.
You can always make the switch. It's not like you can say he's the quarterback.
Right.
And if it changes, it changes. But you can still just say now he's the quarterback.
Well, particularly because from everything I'm being told, they're nowhere near making that change. It would be a totally different scenario if he was seriously considering turning the ball over to Bailey Zappe. But everyone around that team tells me, Mac Jones got 90% of the snaps at practice yesterday.
Right.
Everyone connected to that team says there's no hint of a quarterback controversy here. They think, and Bill thinks, Mac Jones is way better than Bailey Zappe. And they'd know they've seen a lot more of both of them than any of the rest of us have. So I guess what I'm saying to you, Bubba, is if there really were a bit of a quarterback controversy here, then I could see him playing it a little bit differently. But if there is no question that Mac Jones is his quarterback, I don't think the benefit of not saying so at this point, I worry that it would be outweighed by the potential consequence of not saying so. So that's what I think. All right, Bubba, let's finish it up today with a little fun who you got. We've been doing these shorties along the way, but Bubba puts together a question.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right, I'll say it. Who you got?
So he'll ask me a question, and we will go in search of the answer. Sometimes they're sports questions. Sometimes they're sports adjacent. Sometimes they're not about sports at all. Let's see what Bubba has cooked up for today's who you got.
All right, 95 years ago Tuesday, the George Washington Bridge was completed, connecting New York City to New Jersey, crossing the Hudson River, of course. And it took 4 years to make. But my question is there any amount of money in the world that for you or Nuno would work as a bridge builder for 1 year? You can get any amount of money. I think for me, my answer is zero. I'm not doing it.
Because the danger, is it a very dangerous job? See, I look at these bridges.
Yes.
I'm not an architect, that should go without saying, or a civil engineer or whoever it is. It's really more of an engineer, I think, than an architect that understands how these work. But if you ever go see a famous bridge, any bridge, but I mean, the George Washington Bridge is long. If you drive 60 miles an hour across the George Washington Bridge, it's going to take you over a minute to do it. It is a long freaking span. And you look at like the Golden Gate Bridge and stuff. How do they do that? Like, they don't have anything holding it up in the middle. It is an act of genius that greatly exceeds my understanding of the mathematics and the physics and everything else that are involved in that thing staying up without any obvious support underneath it. So are you asking me the question because that would be a dangerous job during the installation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just picturing that famous picture of the workers back in the day all sitting on the beam with eating lunch with no supports. That's what it is. I know it's obviously much safer now. But
if I offered you,
but still, no matter what, just picture yourself walking across a beam, with no support, with the Hudson River below you.
You're saying that if I offered you $10 million, you wouldn't do that?
No, not when you're literally 30. Not when you're literally crossing with the Hudson River below you, probably 600 feet below you, and there's just nothing holding you on either side, and you're just crossing a beam, and that's your no.
I'm understanding your point, but there's always a price.
Not for that.
We'll have to think about that one a little further. Anyway, I may drive across that bridge later today just because you've made me interested. We'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.